Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two, one.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Vern Lundquist joins me. Hall of Famer Jim Calhoun. NASCAR icon Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
Here.
Welcome in, everybody. Episode 7 of the podcast. The Outdoor Sports Podcast presented by Betfred Sportsbook. It is Monday, June 5th, 2023. People, I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody is having a great day, and I hope everybody is ready for what should be a jam-packed Monday episode of the Outdoor Sports Podcast. Here is what you need to know about today's show. We're going to open some interesting new developments on Big 12 expansion. We talked about Big 12 expansion late last week. Gave you some good information. And on Friday, Commissioner Brett Yormark spoke, and he kind of shared a lot of the same stuff that I tried to tell you a week ago. I believe a lot of people are looking at Big 12 expansion the wrong way, and I'm going to explain why. From there, we'll take a quick break. And I know many of you are tired of the college basketball transfer portal talk, but we're really coming down the home stretch now because of the fact that the NBA draft deadline is over. And the few players that were testing the waters are now starting to set up visits, make decisions, all of that. So we're going to talk Grant Nelson. We're going to talk Cam Spencer. We're going to talk Arthur Kaluma and what is going on at Kentucky. As I record here, Kentucky still only has 7 scholarship players. Not here to begrudge. Kentucky's finally making moves. We will discuss all that. So quick show, fun show. 2 quick announcements before we get started. The first, with the NBA draft coming up here in the next few weeks, we are going to be ramping up our NBA draft coverage. I encourage you, the College Hoops Daily podcast with Zach Kroll. I have been on that show a couple times the last few weeks, previewing many of the biggest prospects in the sport. Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, Anthony Black, etc. We'll roll out a couple of new ones this week, but make sure to check it out. And I do think we might even take a few of those episodes and put them here on the Aaron Torres pod feed as it gets a little bit later into June and a little bit quieter. Speaking of which, with it getting later into June, just know this is kind of that time of year where it's a little bit of the transition from basketball back into football. We obviously focus on football in August, September, October, November, etc. So be ready, more football in the coming weeks. And then obviously in the lead up to media days in July, we'll be doing a ton of football going forward. So make sure you're paying attention. Make sure you're subscribed. By the way, the YouTube channel is at 23K and change. Make sure you're subscribed there. So we're going to keep rolling, but it's going to look a little bit different. And as always, I do encourage you, if you have anything you want discussed on this show, any questions, you can always reach out. Aaron Torres podcast questions at gmail.com, or you can tweet me at Aaron_Torres. With that said, though, let's not waste any more time, and let's get to the topic of the day. And the topic of the day, it really is, frankly, a topic that we discussed late last week, and that is Big 12 expansion. And what's interesting about it is we had a conversation last week. It was different than anything else you heard anywhere else. That was the Thursday show. And then on Friday, Commissioner Brett Yormark, the new commissioner of the Big 12, basically confirmed everything I said. And so to go back to last Thursday's show, I'll just be very brief just to set up what Brett Yormark said and what it means going forward. Listen, we've been talking about Big 12 expansion essentially since the day that the Pac-12 lost USC and UCLA to the Big 10. And so I bring it up because I think over the last year, the conversation has been that the Big 12 is just going to poach whatever schools they can from the Pac-12 to strengthen themselves, them being the Big 12, and to try to just put a death knell in the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 moves on. That was always the understanding, and the focus was really on the 4 corner schools: Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State. Could Oregon and Washington potentially get involved as well? So I bring it up because that was the thought process really coming into last week. But last week, the Big 12 had league meetings, just like the SEC did. And I started to hear some stuff that I thought was very interesting. We had heard rumors previously that UConn, that Gonzaga, that San Diego State were among those that could also be on the table for the Big 12, that UNLV could be on the table for the Big 12. And I bring it up because what I said on Thursday's show, I haven't seen it reported anywhere else. I was told that we have actually been looking at Big 12 expansion wrong for most of the last year, that for a time the focus was on football, but that over the last couple months, the conversation has been more about we have a very good football product, but realistically, we're never going to be able to be better than the SEC or the Big Ten in football. So do we need to shift strategy and do we need to focus on basketball going forward? Do we need to focus on the UConns and Gonzagas and San Diego States more than we do the Arizona States, the Utahs, the Washingtons, etc.? So that was what we talked about on Thursday's show. And then Brett Yormark, the commissioner, met with the media on Friday and basically said exactly what I said on Thursday's show, only on the record for the media. By the way, we're about to hire a full-time producer here for the Aaron Torres pod in the coming weeks. I'm really excited about that. When I got the full-time producer, I'm just going to play what I said and then play what Brett Yormark said because it is almost verbatim what I told you. But what I want to do, take a half a second. I want to read Brett Yormark's remarks. And then from there, I want to explain what it means and where I think expansion is going over these next couple weeks. So Brett Yormark did meet with the media on Friday. Here are a couple of the quotes that he said. He said, "We do have a plan. As I've said all along, we have an appetite to be a national conference in our makeup from coast to coast. And we do believe in the upside of basketball moving forward as a collective group. That being said, we love our current composition, love the four new schools that are coming in next month. That's, of course, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Central Florida. However, if the opportunity presents itself to create value, we will pursue it." He continued, "There's a chance for us to double down as the number one basketball conference in America, but football is the driver. We all know that. We're exploring all options and considerations at this time. We do see upside in moving forward. We do see upside in basketball moving forward for the right reasons. We think it's undervalued and there's a chance to double down as the number one basketball conference, as I just said." All right. So a lot to peel back there, but that is what Brett Yormark said. But then on top of that, there was also another nugget that came out that I thought was important. Brett Yormark talked on Friday as well about what kind of money his schools got this past year. And he said that the league, the 10 teams in the league right now, including Texas and Oklahoma, got $44 million per school in 2022-2023, which was a record high. 42 was distributed a year ago, 44 for everybody, including Texas and Oklahoma. And so I bring it up. Why I shared those quotes and why I shared that monetary value for this simple reason. I just think Brett Yormark kind of explained two things. One, what the plan is, and one, why the schools that you might not think would be receptive actually are. So in terms of what Brett Yormark said, it confirms a lot of what we talked about last week. The Big 12, I think, kind of has figured out where it stands in the college sports pecking order, okay? It's not that football isn't a priority. It's always going to be a priority for everybody all the time until we stop playing college sports. College football is going to be the priority. But there's a couple things. One, you're just never going to be able to get the brands that the SEC has, especially without Texas and Oklahoma. There are no Georgias and Floridas and Ohio States and Michigans available. They have homes. They're happy in their homes. They're never leaving. It's not happening. It's not in the cards. The only other program that really moves the needle that is available is Notre Dame, and they're not going to the Big 12. And so it's not that football isn't important. But I believe Brett Yormark feels that Big 12 football is in a pretty good place as the third best conference in college football. TCU just played for a national championship. Kansas State, 11-win season. Baylor, a 12-win season 2 years ago. All three of those schools have coaches 55 years and under, so all three of those programs should be in pretty good shape going forward. So we like where we are in football. But now, Let's still find value in football. Wink, wink, Colorado. Wink, wink, Deion Sanders. But let's also create the best basketball conference that's ever existed. And that is where the interest in UConn and Kansas and San Diego State and Gonzaga comes in. And it's for the reasons that I told you last week, and some of which Brett Yormark talked about a little bit. It's that I believe what Brett Yormark's thinking is this, is that the Big Ten and the SEC are not done expanding, okay? We've talked about this on this show. At some point, the ACC, it's not going to make it. I hate to say it. I know they changed the revenue distribution and Florida State's getting more than Boston College. They're not going to survive. And so at some point, the ACC is going to break up. And four of their schools or two of their schools or whatever are eventually going to go to the SEC. And a couple are going to go to the Big Ten. And at some point, the Big Ten is probably going to have 20 teams, 24 teams maybe. And it's the same with the SEC. And so when you get to those 40 to 48 teams, you know what's going to happen? We can pretend like it's not. The SEC and Big Ten are going to try to break off from everybody else in college sports. It's going to happen. And so the Big 12's thought process is this. If we build the best basketball conference in the world, then if the Big Ten and SEC try to break off, we have to be included in everything because you can't run a national championship in basketball without Kansas, without maybe UConn, maybe Gonzaga, maybe Arizona. You just can't. And for people who will say, they'll only break off in football. No. They're ready to break off in basketball too, okay? You think Ohio State and Michigan and Georgia and Greg Sankey and whoever the heck the new commissioner of the Big Ten is, you think they want to share a cut of the NCAA basketball tournament revenue with St. Peter's? And who else? North Texas? And I don't know, Fairleigh Dickinson? You think Greg Sankey cares about Fairleigh Dickinson? You know how I know he doesn't? Because last summer, a year ago, Greg Sankey is already talking about, do we really need automatic bids in the NCAA tournament? Do we really need them? Are we sure? And that was just his way of basically saying, we think we should get more SEC teams in because we want to keep more of the money for themselves. So if you don't think that when another round of expansion comes and the SEC adds, say, Clemson and Miami and Florida State or whatever, and the Big Ten adds Virginia and North Carolina and whomever, you don't think that they're going to try to break off and run their own basketball tournament too? And so the Big 12's thinking is pretty straightforward. You guys can do that, but nobody's going to take your little basketball tournament seriously if you don't include Kansas and UConn and Arizona and Gonzaga. So there's that element of it. But then on the flip side, that $44 million to me is a very important note as well. And here is why that is important in my mind. It's because it now explains why some of these schools are interested in leaving for the Big 12. Listen, as a UConn alum, I'm getting asked about this nonstop. DMs, private, public, media members are calling me out. Why would UConn ever leave the Big East again? They left once for football and it was a disaster. Let's get a couple things straight. UConn never left the Big East. The Catholic schools wanted to go basketball only and booted UConn. UConn had a football program. They went to the ACC. They had nowhere else to go. So let's get that out of the way. UConn never left the ACC, left the Big East. The Big East kicked them out. And two, the other factor is this, is that people want to say, oh, well, why would you leave again? You're competing at the highest level. I get that. But the college sports world is changing. And are you going to be able to run a legitimate athletic department on what the Big East is getting paid? And that's no disrespect. It's just a fact. And so you look at where UConn strives to be. People say, oh, they're going to leave the Big 12 for football and it's going to be a disaster. No. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. They're going to leave for the Big 12 to save all of the other sports in that athletic department. Remember, Dan Hurley, I believe by the end of the summer, will be one of the 5 to 10 highest paid coaches in college basketball. He's probably going to make $6 million a year. Gino Auriemma currently makes $3 million a year. His replacement is probably going to be in that range if you want to continue to compete at the highest level in women's college basketball. Maybe if it's even less, but even if it's $1.5, $2 million, that's above market value. UConn, well, they just lost in the Gainesville Regional to Florida to end the baseball season, is a top 25 baseball program. Think that doesn't cost money? Think Jim Penders hasn't had offers to go other places as head coach? He has. Michigan last offseason, he turned it down. You're going to be able to keep him? You're going to be able to keep a top 15 ice hockey program operating at the highest level? Soccer has been good historically. Women's soccer has been good historically. Field hockey has won national championships. You think you're going to be able to do all of that on $10 or $12 million a year from the Big East? When Dan Hurley's making six and the women's basketball coach is making three? I don't think so. And so that is why UConn is seriously considering this move if an opportunity presents itself. And by the way, it's why Arizona would consider it, and it's why Gonzaga would consider it. Because one, the finances are bananas. And then two, and bananas relative to what you're going to get. And two, it's about stability. You join with these teams, it sets you up for whatever the next round of realignment looks like. And so I don't mean to go on and on. I don't mean to belabor the point. But to give you a quick update, I think everything Brett Yormark said confirmed what I said on this show a few days ago, and it makes me feel better about what I said. If you ask me for a group of teams, group of programs that are prioritized by the Big 12 right now, I believe Colorado is there, not so much because of basketball, but because of Deion Sanders, the Coach Prime effect. They're ready to leave. Coach Prime wants them in a Texas-based league so he can go back to Dallas and recruit Dallas all the time and stay in his house, you know, that ranch of his that's, you know, probably 25 acres or something like that. So Colorado, I believe, is done. We can pretend, we can dance, their AD can say the right things. They're done. I believe after that, I believe UConn's the top priority. Northeast, what'd he say? What would Yormark say? Coast to coast. I know they have Cincinnati. I know they have Central Florida. UConn's a bigger brand than both. UConn provides them coast to coast opportunities. I believe UConn's the next priority. And then from there, I've talked about Arizona before. Talked about it on last week's show. Saw my buddy Jason Shear confirm something that I said on Thursday's show. Arizona and Arizona State are not attached at the hip. I don't believe that Arizona State is any longer a priority for the Big 12. And I believe the Big 12 is ready to move forward with Arizona without Arizona State. And then, like I said, I think it's either Gonzaga or San Diego State to round out the 16. Is it possible you bring in Gonzaga as a basketball-only member? It is. How that all works, I don't know. But I think it's all on the table for all of the reasons that I've mentioned. I don't believe Arizona State's as much of a priority as they've been. Talked about Utah last week and then independently confirmed it with a second person that they have some trepidation about going to the Big 12 because BYU is there. So I don't know that Utah's a priority one way or the other. And Washington, Oregon, I still can't figure out. Feels to me like they still think they're getting that Big 10 invite. I don't see it. But again, Yormark said it. I'm telling you. Keep an eye. Keep that little eye right there. I believe basketball is a priority. And I believe schools like UConn, Gonzaga, San Diego State, Arizona are more of a priority than a Utah, Oregon, Washington. All right, so what I want to do, take a quick break. And when I come back, we are going to talk, speaking of basketball, how about the portal? A lot of stuff happened this weekend with Grant Nelson, with Cam Spencer, with potentially Kentucky. Take a quick break. Be right back. All right, we'll get back to the show in a minute. But before we do, I want to welcome back our presenting sponsor, Betfred Sportsbook, and the Betfred Sportsbook app. The NBA playoffs are here, and nobody has you covered quite like Betfred. By now, you know Betfred's story. Started in 1967 in the UK, over 1,200 shops in the UK. They have since come to the United States and made a major splash. They are not only the presenting sponsor of the Aaron Torres podcast and all things Aaron Torres media, but also the Cincinnati Bengals, the Colorado Rockies, the Denver Broncos. And what I love about Betfred Sportsbook is that nobody takes care of their customers quite like Betfred. You've seen the Betfred Sportsbook suite at Bengals games. It is hopping. We have sent listeners of this show to Denver Broncos VIP tailgates. Betfred bettors have thrown out first pitches at Colorado Rockies games. Again, nobody takes care of you like Betfred Sportsbook does. And here is what they are doing for the NBA playoffs. How about this for a deal? Bet $50 on any game, all playoffs long, get up to $1,111 in free bets. Here's how it works. Download the Betfred Sportsbook app, bet $50 on any game. You automatically get $111 in free bets. But beyond that, here is what else Betfred does for you. They're going to give you up to $200 in insurance for the first 5 weeks that you're a Betfred customer. So maybe you make a bad pick. We all do. We've all been there. Trust me. You followed my picks in March Madness. It happens. So you bet 200, doesn't work out. Get 200 insurance for the first 5 weeks that you are a Betfred customer, equating up to $1,111 in free bets thanks to Betfred. Again, nobody takes care of you like Betfred does. Love working with them. They are the presenting sponsor of the Aaron Torres Pod. Tell them Torres sent you. Download the Betfred Sportsbook app right now. All right, everybody. Hi, back. Good to be back. Do want to switch gears and listen. You already know I'm going to talk a little bit of college hoops transfer portal. And I get it. We've been talking about this thing since the middle of March when the transfer portal opened. But it is finally starting to come down the home stretch here for one simple reason. We're running out of bodies and names and schools and spots, right? And the last big wave does feel like it happened late last week because, as I told you, there was about three, four guys in the portal that were also testing the NBA draft waters that if they decide to come back to college basketball would be very coveted. And now with the NBA draft deadline, many of them have decided to come back to college basketball and are starting to set up visits. And we're starting to get a feel for who's going to go where, who's going to commit where, and the last few big names that are in the portal. And I'll tell you this, I think probably over the next week to 10 days, most of the big names are going to be completely off the board. And the transfer portal is largely going to be done for the spring and summer of 2023. And we can really finally officially look ahead to the 2023-2024 season. So I want to go through a few names that are still in there. And I want to start with probably metaphorically, literally the biggest name available right now. And that is Grant Nelson, a 6'11" center from North Dakota State. If you've listened to this show, we've talked about Grant Nelson probably about three or four times at this point. Again, 6'11" center, rim runner, super athletic, played the last 3 years at North Dakota State, averaged 19 points per game, originally from that beautiful little town, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. As I've said, I've spent way too much time on that Wikipedia page of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Shout out to Rick Helling, the former Major League Baseball pitcher who was from Devil's Lake. So I know way too much about Devil's Lake, but this kid, I told you about a week to 10 days ago, I said, bottom line with this kid was this. He was in the NBA draft. His focus was the NBA draft. And if he decided to come back to college, then he would reevaluate at that point and probably move on from North Dakota State. Well, he officially withdrew from the NBA draft a few days ago, had put his name into the portal before the undergraduate deadline in mid-May. And now we're starting to get some understanding of where he is going to visit and where he could ultimately commit. According to Joe Tipton and the crew from On3, he has three visits set up for this week. He will go to Baylor on Tuesday, Alabama on Wednesday, Arkansas on Thursday and Friday. And I'll tell you, I think those are three different schools that offer three different opportunities. And I can really honestly see him ending up at any of the three. Now, in terms of just raw, like playing time, opportunity, whatever, I think Baylor and Alabama are kind of 1 and 1A in that category. You look at Baylor, their front court, their backcourt is largely set. Jacoby Walter, 5-star guard, is coming in. Miro Little, 4-star-ish international player, is coming in. Added a couple nice pieces from the portal. Most recently, Ray J. Dennis, a transfer from Toledo. At the same time, though, their front court is really thin. Now, Jalen Bridges is a 4. He's not really a 5. Grant Nelson could step in at Baylor right away and take on a pretty big role right away for a really good team. He would kind of be that final missing piece. Alabama's kind of that sweet spot as well, because as we talked about a lot with Alabama, I think there's two factors at play with Alabama. One, the style of play is great, right? Up and down, spacing, shooting, whatever. Grant Nelson, obviously, to get to the next level is going to have to prove that not only can he handle the ball, but that he can defend at an elite level, and that most importantly, he can stretch the floor and hit threes. Well, he's going to have the opportunity in Alabama where everybody is expected to attempt and make threes in Nate Oates' system. And so it's interesting to see what that could potentially look like, because remember, Alabama's front court was decimated at the NBA draft deadline when Charles Bediako, the starting center, that really nobody thought was going to be leaving college basketball this year, decides to leave. And so like Baylor, Alabama has a pressing need in the front court, and that's a spot for Grant Nelson where I believe he could go in, plug and play, start, contribute, potentially put up big numbers, and be out in a year. The final spot's really interesting because Grant Nelson, since the day he entered the portal, has been linked to Arkansas. And I think like those other two schools, Arkansas has a heck of a sales pitch. Now, there isn't like the clear, unquestioned path to playing time at Arkansas that there is at the other two spots, but The front court depth isn't what we anticipated. Obviously, last week, Jordan Walsh decides to stay in the NBA draft. Obviously, Ron Holland, the number one high school player in America, he elects to go to the professional ranks, go to G League Ignite for his 1 year between high school and the NBA instead of going to Arkansas. So now you have a spot, like a literal roster spot. You have playing time and opportunity. I'm sure there were some NIL funds that were allocated for one of those two, if not both of them. And so it's kind of the perfect storm at Arkansas to potentially make a big push for Grant Nelson. Beyond that, and I think this is important, Grant Nelson wants to be a quote-unquote one-and-done transfer. He has 2 years of eligibility left, but this is a guy that sees coming. Basically, his viewpoint is this. Where can I go to come back, play college basketball, and be ready to be a pro a year from now? And I bring it up because Eric Musselman's track record at this point, it's hard to top, especially for transfers. Watch the NBA Finals. Watch the NBA playoffs. Caleb Martin, of course, played for Eric Musselman at Nevada. Cody Martin, Caleb Martin's brother in the NBA, was at Nevada. Stanley Amude, fifth-year transfer from South Dakota, so not far from where Grant Nelson has played college basketball. Played for Eric Musselman at Arkansas, was in the Detroit Pistons organization, and made some spot appearances for the Pistons this year. So I'm not saying that Arkansas is the favorite. I don't know that there is a favorite right now. I don't think Grant Nelson would be taking all three visits if he definitively knew where he was going. But all three have interesting sales pitches. It'll be fascinating to watch. You know, this is one I don't have like an incredible feel for. I think all three could be in play, and I think each offers a little bit something different, but this will be fascinating to follow. Again, three visits this week. My guess is that by the end of this week into early next week, we're going to know where Grant Nelson is playing college basketball next year. Let's keep it going with the other really big name that we have discussed a few times over the last couple weeks. That is guard Cam Spencer. Graduate transfer from Rutgers, averaged 13 points per game, elite three-point shooter, 42% from beyond the arc. And I got some interesting intel on Cam Spencer over the course of this weekend. So a week ago, he had announced a Final Four through Jeff Goodman of Miami, UCLA, UConn, and Oklahoma. This week, he took a visit to Miami. He has a UConn visit scheduled. And what we've talked about previously is, to me, it felt like it was going to come down to, is it all about NIL? Because if it's all about NIL, we know people are going to have trouble competing with Miami. Is it about the combination? Is it more about winning and role and spot and opportunity? And if that's the case, UConn's probably a good spot for him, because the one thing that UConn does not have is a replacement for Jordan Hawkins, the future lottery pick, who was an elite scorer and three-point shooter for the Huskies this past season. And so I bring it up, because while the other two schools are in the mix, Oklahoma and UCLA, this to me, I've been told, not just I feel, it's not a gut. My hunch is, and I've been told, that this is really a Miami-UConn situation. I don't think Oklahoma feels great about where they stand. UCLA, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it just feels like a weird fit for a pro, you know, West Coast school, East Coast kid. UCLA is going to be young. UCLA is going to be largely rebuilding next year. And so this to me comes down to Miami and UConn. And the one thing I would say, I was told this by somebody close to Cam Spencer over the weekend. Good news for UConn. I am told this is not strictly an NIL thing, okay? Because I think when he first entered the portal, there were reports that he went into Rutgers and said, I got a bigger opportunity somewhere else. I'm leaving and I'm not even giving you a chance to match the offer. Just said, I'm out. And I think at that point, everybody assumed, well, it must be NIL. There must be some huge offer out there. He must be going somewhere else. What I was told is something that I have told you on this show before. I think NIL is absolutely a factor for Cam Spencer. And I think if you're going to him or any recruit in the portal and saying, we can offer you this and tell, here's our biology department and this is what, NIL is a factor. I don't believe it is the only factor for most players. And my understanding is it isn't for Cam Spencer. It is the holistic thing of, what's my role going to be? What are my opportunities going to be? Can I win? How will I be coached? Can you help me maybe get to the next level as an NBA player? Cam Spencer's an elite athlete, 13 points per game in the Big Ten last year. I think he thinks, hey, let me find a spot that can put me in position to have success. I'm not saying it's a certainty. I do think it's down to UConn and Miami. And as I record here late on Sunday night, I'd give UConn the slightest advantage, probably a 55-45 advantage. That visit is coming up. We will see what happens going forward. Finally, before we get out of here, I want to talk about the school that we've spent an inordinate amount of time talking about over the course of this offseason, and that's the Kentucky Wildcats. And by now, I've done the spiel, right? 7 players on scholarship, 5 true freshmen, a redshirt freshman, and a sophomore. And I've said from the beginning, I thought they should be more aggressive in the portal. You can't wait around, whatever. It is what it is. Kentucky fans, I'm not here to rehash that. And what I will say is, it does feel like John Calipari is finally feeling the need to really kind of kick things into gear. First of all, we found out that 2 high school players, one visited this weekend, one will be visiting this week. Jordan Burks, a player from the Overtime Elite program, visited this weekend. Big athletic forward, was committed to Ole Miss, announced that he was decommitting when Chris Beard took the job, has been kind of available since then. He took a visit to Kentucky this weekend. And then Joey Hart, a 3-star formerly of Central Florida, committed to Central Florida, he has opened his recruitment and is down. Not, I don't want to say he's down, but I saw Jeff Goodman say that Kentucky, along with Indiana and Rutgers, are factors for him. So one, listen, I'm not going to criticize John Calipari. I do think you need to add veterans to the back end of your bench, but you need just bodies, period, at this point. And so if you are bringing in high school players that you think can be role players that are willing to come off the bench, that are willing to play a role that maybe over a 2-3-year period can develop into something, I'm not going to sit here and criticize. I've criticized enough. You got to get bodies. I'm not going to criticize. But at the same time, I do think you need to continue to be aggressive in the portal, because I don't think you can roll out, even if you get commitments from these 2 kids, and I'm not saying that commitments are imminent, but even if you get commitments from these 2 kids, I do still think you need some veterans. Like, you can't go into next season with 9 scholarship players, including 7 true freshmen, a redshirt freshman, and a sophomore. You just can't do it. I don't care how good the freshmen are. And so now it becomes, can you make moves in the portal? One name that had been linked to Kentucky is off the board, Isaiah Miranda, 7-foot center. Interesting story on this kid. He was a high school player in the class of 2023. Really good player. I actually saw him at Pangos All-American Camp last summer, a camp that's going on this week. Ironically enough, won't be able to attend, but saw him at Pangos All-American Camp. 7-footer, super athletic, rim runner, shot blocker, needs a lot of work. But what was interesting about him, he reclassified, went to NC State this year, redshirted in practice with the team, entered the draft, and then decided to transfer. Very strange, but he withdrew from the draft. Kentucky was interested. Ultimately, he did commit to Oklahoma State. I can't sit here and say I think it's a huge loss for Kentucky, because you never had him. 1, 2, developmental guy. You know, you hear some things about attitude and that kind of stuff. Certainly a unique backstory, as I said, graduating early, redshirting, and then immediately bouncing. So I'm not worried about that one. But again, you got to make moves. And there are 2 names that I do want to discuss really quickly with Kentucky. 1, David Jones from St. John's. Listen, this isn't a perfect guy for you right now. But again, you need bodies, you need experience. And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you got him. Now, a couple interesting things with David Jones. 1, don't know that Kentucky's the leader for him. It's worth mentioning, by the way, David Jones, 14 points per game, 7 rebounds per game at St. John's. But a couple things stand out. 1, don't know that they're a leader. Another player that I think they probably kind of tried to slow roll and, oh, we can come back to you and we'll talk and we'll circle back. Well, now it's June and you got to make a move. Memphis is supposedly in the mix there. And so it's kind of a Memphis-Kentucky battle, with maybe Memphis having the slight lead. But beyond that, a couple things stand out that worry me a little bit, but I can't worry that much because you just need bodies if you're Kentucky. Not a very efficient player. Shot about 39% from the field, 29% from 3 as a 6'7 forward that played at St. John's last year. Again, he's a hustle. He's an energy guy, but does have those moments that, you know, you kind of doesn't always make the best decisions. The last thing I would say, this isn't a criticism of him necessarily, but why you're recruiting veterans at this point, you want locker room guys, right? And I'm not saying David Jones is a good kid or a bad kid or this or that. What I would say about him, though, is that he hasn't done much winning in college. Started his career at DePaul, played well there, but the team didn't win. Then goes to St. John's, team doesn't win. And so I guess my thing is, if you're going for older players, locker room guys, is he going to be the guy that rallies the troops and gets everybody in line after a bad half or at halftime or in the final minute of a game in the huddle. Just something to think about. We'll see what happens with him. And finally, with Kentucky, I'll just say this. Got to get Arthur Kaluma. Like at this point, you got to get Arthur Kaluma. There's nothing else for me to say. Nothing else for me to add. You got to go get Arthur Kaluma. 6'8" forward, played the last 2 years at Creighton, was a starter on their Elite Eight team. I believe he's an NBA talent. Really blew up the back half of his freshman year at Creighton. I've said it many times, but scored 24 points in the NCAA tournament against Kansas 2 years ago, the year that Kansas won the national championship. And so if you are John Calipari, this is the guy, in my opinion, you got to get. He's not perfect, but he's NBA frame, NBA body, NBA skill set, needs to work on the three-point shooting. And kind of what I mentioned with Grant Nelson earlier is that I think Arthur Kaluma, look, he wants to go to a place, plug me in, play me, let me ball out, let me get out. Well, there's a spot at Kentucky in the front court just waiting for him. And then on top of that, I think he's the kind of guy that, yes, it's going to sort of be about DJ Wagner and Justin Edwards, the freshman coming in, Aaron Bradshaw. But that's a guy that I think in the moments in the SEC, when you're in Knoxville, when you're in Fayetteville, when you're in Tuscaloosa, when you're in Auburn, wherever you're playing, that you can just give the ball to, and he can grown man people and say, give me the ball. I'm going to get stuff done. So if you're Kentucky, listen, I said it on, I think it was Thursday's show. I saw my buddy David Sisk from Rivals.com say, if Kentucky misses on some other guys, missed on their draft deadline guys, but they get Arthur Kaluma, I saw David say that he would consider this offseason a success, and I would consider it a success as well. All right, I think that's it for this episode of the Air Tour Sports Podcast. I do think it is time for me to get out of here. Quicker, shorter episode of the show. But listen, it's June. I said it to lead off. This is kind of that weird transition stuff. We're going to be doing some NBA draft stuff over the next couple weeks. But this is when we kind of ease out of college basketball into college football. So it's going to be a busy couple weeks. But it is going to be a transitionary couple weeks. By the way, if you ever have anything that you think we should talk about, always feel free to email the show, AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. But that's all for today's show. Make sure you're subscribed, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, on our way to 24,000 subscribers. So thank you all for your support there. And just be plugged in. Questions for the show? AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. Leave ratings and reviews, all that good stuff. But that is all for today's show. It is time for me to get out of here, and I will be back on Wednesday, barring something shocking, okay? That's it. That's all. Appreciate all your support. Shout out to Torncrank. Shout out to Rachel, who hates my voice. Shout out to JJ Redick, UF head, unblock me, bro. I will be back on Wednesday. New episode, Aaron Torres Podcast.